like defined enough. I'm done being pregnant now for the rest of my life. Everything's great.
Two times is plenty of times to do
now
it.
Now I feel like, great. Yeah. I'm like, great. We're done. Everything's good.
Okay, Gail, enough. Like, just like 2 year pregnancy system. Womb, there it is.
Pregnancy system is good.
I don't know. I don't know anything. So on that note, let's start the episode.
Remember that record that you bought me like 2 years ago? Well, I just remember that it's sitting in the closet. So I called you up just to tell you I've been meaning to listen to that. I've been meaning to listen to that. Why don't you come over and talk about it? You come over and talk about it.
Hey everybody, welcome to I've Been Meaning to Listen to That, the podcast where we go through albums we've been meaning to listen to and use as a conduit to learn about each other and our guests. I'm Andrew Ambrose Lee.
And I'm Michael Limentato.
And we got a lot to cover here. This is a very highly anticipated album for myself. Like, we did a whole month on Carly Rae Jepsen back in 2020. We've had such great guests like to help cover Carly Rae Jepsen, like Kevin Porter and Josh Gondelman. And on that lineage of good guests that we're going to have to talk to, it's fan favorite Erin Mallory Long, everybody. Yeah.
Woo! The crowd goes wild.
Yeah.
Do you know that Kevin Porter and I ran into each other at a CRJ show in 2019? It was back at the Greek, and that's where the first time we saw her, we moved to LA in 2012. So it was like right the summer of Call Me Maybe. So it was like the height of that. And then like 2013 or 2012, I can't remember. We like saw her 2013, I think. We saw her at the Greek Theater in LA. So it was like the anniversary of like us living there for a year. It was like the best concert we'd ever been to in our lives. And then that's where we became like fully like CRJ forever.
Wow.
Like stance. Cause it's me and my husband. We're both just like, I mean, we go to shows together, but like we're both obsessed with her. So like 2019, we like made the trek down to Anaheim to see the show, which is where we ran into Kevin. And then we also got tickets to the LA show. And then after going to the LA show, like the Friday or Saturday, we were like, we should go back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, bought tickets for the next night too.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Wow. Oh, like, but that's like the speak on that a little bit. Like I went to this tour. The dedicated tour was first of all, one of my favorite shows of all time.
So
like
good.
It's so great. But like the So Nice tour, I just like bought tickets by myself because like the tickets were pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And I was just like hoping to like run into someone. And I was wearing my shirt because I was going out. I was like taking a class at Second City. And one of my friends there like was like, oh, I'm going to that too. And then we made plans to go to it that day together. And it was like, so that's like kind of like, it's not like a super complicated fandom. Like everyone's like, they're just like be happy, like,
yeah,
and stuff like that. They're not a lot of toxic bro fans and stuff like that.
No,
or anything
the
like
vibe,
that.
The vibe at the shows are so good. Like, it's just so great. And like those last two shows on Dedicated that we went to, I already was pregnant with my first child. So like I went to those shows fully. Like, I'm not saying that I'm normally like really drinking at shows, but I just to fully illustrate, like I'm just like totally just like drinking water and just like screaming and like having the best time. I'm just like, this is the greatest.
You
like
saying,
this is the most fun.
He's saying, want you in my womb, and like looked around like,
you just like me.
Did you get it?
I'm sorry, you had a point that I ruined. Like, but like, what are you trying
to say? Yeah, you did it, Andrew.
No, just thinking about running into people, I ran into someone at every single one of those shows. Like every show I went to at the Dedicated, and I'm not saying I don't know like a billion people or anything, like, you know, like, but I ran into a friend at every single one of those shows.
That's
and like
so
who I didn't know was going and was just like, oh my god, hey, like, pre-pandemic, you know,
back when we all kissed each other on the lips when we saw each other at concerts.
Yeah, yeah. Just a full lick just everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. I run into people when I do my Naruto run, but anyways, yeah, it's great. People don't like it, but like, but what about you, Michael? What's your history of Carly Rae Jepsen? This is an artist that we haven't covered together. You know, we did it before you came on.
Yes, we have.
Oh yeah, we talked about her, but like not an album per se.
I wore the shirt that we all have also.
Yeah,
yes, the best shirt.
That's the other thing. The other thing was when Aaron and Josh did our NSYNC episode.
That's right.
Me, Michael, and Sean and Aaron were going to wear the shirt together, but most of us forgot. So like
Everyone forgot except me.
I forgot, but I wore it this time, and I texted you guys a lot of times saying, "Remember to wear the shirt. Remember to wear the shirt. Remember to wear the shirt." And you didn't wear the shirt. Aaron said, "I have a baby. Shut the fuck up. I'm blocking you." And I was like, "That's kind of mean, Aaron." But then I texted, "But please do wear the shirt."
I am mean. That's what I do.
She thumbs down reacted to it, guys.
Yeah,
I messaged thumbs down.
You love Carly Rae Jepsen. That's great.
I love Carly Rae Jepsen. I've never done an episode of Carly Rae Jepsen before, apparently. I don't remember not doing it. I feel like I have, but I guess that's not true. So.
I don't remember not doing it.
I don't remember not doing it. I talked about Carly with one of my friends. He does like a newsletter, and I brought up Carly, and I was just like, I feel like she's like my friend in the music industry that I don't know. Like, I want the best for her. I think she seems like a little sweetie. Like, she turned like 35 the other day, and I'm like, you are like ageless to me. 37, that's right. Where I was like, I would like Carly Rae Jepsen. I'm like, I don't really know. Like, I thought she was my age. I thought she could be like 45, she could be 25. And I'm like, I don't really care. Like, she's like filling this niche that I'm just like, I just love her so much. I think she's so great, and her music is so sweet. It's not too poppy. Her first album, like the one that has Call Me Maybe, is very poppy, like almost too sweet to listen to. But the rest of her music has been like, it's so listenable. Like, almost anyone, you could put this on, they'll be like, who is this? And you could be like, oh, it's Carly Rae Jepsen. They're like, Call Me Maybe, girl.
I can't stand that.
It does bother me, but I also don't want to be that person where it's like, it's not Call Me Maybe.
I actually always am that person specifically only about her. I'm just like, actually, like, get with the program.
Like, you're like Adam Conover, like, actually, he's
yeah, the whole time I was watching.
So you don't know anyone who likes music? Okay, great.
Like, the whole time we were watching House of the Dragon, anyone would be like, he's really good, the uncle. And I'm like, do you mean Doctor Who? Do you mean Matt Smith, the doctor of Doctor Who?
You know what, though? I will say, like, I like that feeling, like, when I play, like, a song from Emotion or something with someone in the car, and they like it, and they say, who is this? And I say, Carly Rae Jepsen. And then I get to, like, introduce them to, like, whoa, this is so, like, that's such a wonderful feeling. So, and like, it happens a few times. It's really, really good.
Emotion is so good.
First of all, like, to your point of, like, Carly being your friend, it's very funny because I wrote that she's, like, the most, like, normie pop star of all time. Like, but that's a feature, not a bug.
Because it's like, not bad. It's good. Yeah.
Because, like, Taylor Swift is, like, fighting Ticketmaster, and she's, like, talking about, like, flying in a plane and stuff
Taylor
like that.
Swift, like, is pretending to be normal. She's, like, cosplaying normalcy.
100% always.
It's like, I believe that Carly Rae Jepsen, like, has eaten at a diner, whereas like if Taylor Swift is like, I was at a diner, it's like, and what, the chef was quivering in fear, like in the kitchen, like what was happening, you know? She's like, I stomped my gazelle legs over to him and choked him to death when he didn't put, you know, Taylor Swift brand of peanut butter on my PB&J that I ordered.
I remember reading that.
Wait, I don't want to talk about Taylor Swift at all on this episode. Bleep that out. Every time I've said Taylor Swift, bleep it out.
I just want, what were your preconceived notions with, let's talk about this though. Like, what were your preconceived notions on this particular album? Like, cause we all three of us were fans of her before this album came out. So like, with the lead up to this album, what was your preconceived notions? What were you expecting? What were you wanting? Were you enjoying the singles? All that stuff.
My preconceived notion was, oh, great, I will love this. Just give it to me, whatever it is.
I'm kind of in the same boat. Although Western Wind, I was kind of like, is this going to be a stinker?
My husband and I were talking about that in the car today. Like, we were like, remember when it was just Western Wind and we were kind of like,
And Western Wind, too, not to like talk about it, but is so good in its placement on the album. I want to listen to it. But as the first single of this album, I was like, please tell me you're not doing this. And she like had a billboard with her with like a cowboy hat. And I was like, don't do it. Yeah. Like,
but I know that you don't want to talk about her, but it does remind me of Taylor Swift because
leave her name.
I famously do not like any lead singles for Taylor albums. Like, I'm just like, every time she like does a single, I'm like, I don't like this.
Yeah,
and then
she's
I'm
a
like,
terrible
oh, I
single
like this
picker.
Album.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
It's also like not, it wasn't very cohesive. Like when she like the, you know, Western Wind, like, okay, she's probably going for like a more folky thing, just like kind of more vibes and stuff like that. And then, you know, the Beach House song, like kind of like feels like kind of more of like that early Kiss era. It's, like,
yeah, it sounds like the Jonas Brothers are yelling at her during that song. Like, that's not the same vibe.
And then just like then like talking to yourself, okay, but we're back in emotion era. And then like the Loneliest Time is like so I had no idea what this would be.
Yeah.
You know, when she released Western Wind, like my theory on her album was because her previous album was called Dedicated and the song ended with like, Now I Don't Hate California Anymore. I thought that the next album would be kind of more Now I Don't Hate California Anymore too, where it's like, she's satisfied in a relationship. She's like kind of, you know, secure and stuff like that. And then she realized, then she said that she would be calling the album The Loneliest Time, which is funny because she already made the perfect album about loneliness. She already did it. Like, is she already emotion is it. It is the unrequited love album. It's the loneliness album. It's like, I wrote about it. Like, I'll just like read a little bit of what I wrote. Like, the album is the liminal space between a crush and something real, where the potential of being happy with someone makes you feel as though the floor has gone out from under you, and it's the most exhilarating, horrible feeling ever. The album is the cinematic soundtrack, scoring the euphoria of a hand touch to the acute searing pains of unrequited love to the rekindling of self-acceptance, all packaged in glistening, glimmering, and pristine pop. Like, that's like, that's it. Yeah. Like, but yeah, like, it's truly like, it was like so important to me. It was so crucial for like the time I was dealing with like a lot of heartbreak, like the fact that
and it didn't even feel good in a place like this.
It didn't feel good in an AMC, you know, just like that. The idea of just like it was like so like I was like working at a Barnes and Nobles, I was dealing with heartbreak, I would like cry during random times of the day, and so like listening to emotion, like this like mousy, meek demeanor person, like transforming into this 80s pop goddess, like channeling these like profound emotions into these like 3-minute cuts, like of perfection. I don't even know. I don't think she fully understands what she did even. Like, I don't know. Like,
I think also like, to me, this whole album is like, it feels like California to me. It feels like LA Palm Springs-y, like Joshua Tree, you know, like it has that vibe to me of just kind of like chill out, like kind of music. There's a hotel that we love going to in Palm Springs. It's just the Ace in Palm Springs, which everyone loves going to, but they always, when you walk into your rooms, they have it tuned to like a Palm Springs radio station. And like, this feels like this would be playing in those rooms. Like this whole album, like feels like the same vibe of like, you would go in and you just kind of have, you know, like linen, you know, things on the around, you know, like a linen robe to put on or something, you know, like there's just kind of like a cactus that you can see. And like, that's what like the album feels like. And to that end, I think I internalize Loneliest Time just as a general like LA-ness or something. which is probably a lot of me bringing my own stuff to the table.
I've never done that. I've never brought my own stuff to the table, talking about music on the show and stuff like that.
I feel like that's part of it. So it's like, it's not like, it's not the same. It's not hitting the same as emotion. It's more like a different kind of loneliness kind of thing.
So let's talk about, like, let's transition into themes a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. It's, to like Aaron's point, to like kind of our points about like, she says in the line, like Beach House, like, I've been on this ride, this roller coaster carousel, I'm getting over, like that line. Like, so like the idea of like transitioning from her life, transitioning from being like a roller coaster to a carousel, the idea of like, she's grown in confidence. She's had relationships where they weren't unrequited, and herself, she's found this new identity as this like, you know, indie pop girl who's like, you know, found her niche in the world. And yeah, but like the take I came up with is just like, Carly is the certified lover girl in opposition to Drake being a certified lover boy. Like the idea but the idea of like Drake using that nickname is like aggro and antisocial, and you know, he thinks calling himself a lesbian is awesome or whatever, but like where Carly like considers love to be a core value, but she's been on this, she's 37, she's still dating now, and it's like she's been on this roller coaster, this carousel for so long that it's, she might as well have gotten a certification for being, yeah, like,
you know how many gay men I know that would treat her better than apparently all the straight men she's ever dated? A lot.
Yeah, I don't know that I like trust her taste in men.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing too. I was talking to Andrew about this. She's like your friend that's like not that funny, but you like to hear talk. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh yeah, totally. And then it's like, oh yeah, I've heard that story before, but please do tell it again.
I just keep thinking of the roller coaster to carousel line as far as like a carousel being like sort of like this grind of monotony, you know, like you're used to these like intense highs and lows, and then you're going on a carousel which is very repetitive, and it can be comforting or it can be like boring, lonely, you know? I think I have a very set routine, as Carly and I are almost exactly the same age. I have a very, you know, set routine of like my life, right? Like nothing is really like, aside from adding kids to the mix, like nothing is changing, you know, like this day to day, like if we're working from home, like I have pretty much the same routine, which can feel monotonous if you want it to. And if you're on like a drama where it's like, it's boring, I've been married for 10 years and I hate my life, like, you know, you can take that as like, it's bad, or it's very comforting because you know what's coming next. And like this piece of your life is like set, and you're like, okay, and now I go cook dinner. Great. Me, as someone who gets very easily distracted and overwhelmed by things, I love a routine and I love the carousel because I'm like, I need something to focus on.
Yeah.
And I need something that I can do and that can anchor me. And like, that's great. Cause then when other stuff, my job is going weird or something like that, then it's like, that keeps me going. Yeah, that metaphor I hadn't really thought about before, that those two differences, it feels, that now feels very like mid to late 30s to me, as far as like an emotion and like a feeling that you might be having.
Well, I think she does find it comforting to some degree too. Like there are the times where she clearly finds it bad, like one of the best songs on this album, Go Find Yourself or whatever, which is just like,
yep,
here you go, you're doing it again. Sure.
That's also one of my favorite song title.
What's the one? Even when things go my way, is it Sideways? I like to get my way. Yeah. And it's like stuff can go wrong, but it's like, I'm still going to like be going for the things that I know, the things that I, you know, think and believe in. And I totally see what you're saying, Aaron. And I totally agree. I'm also someone who gravitates towards routine, you know, so I like to have the routine, and I like the different things I want to be like a different video game that I play at, you know, 7 p.m. or whatever. Like that's all the difference I really want to handle. Like,
well, yeah, it's kind of like the same thing. Like I'm not good at spontaneous plans. Like, if my friend texts me at like five, like, what are you doing for dinner? I'm like, well, I already planned out what I'm doing for dinner.
Even if it's like, I was going to pick up something, it's like, I'm
even still
if
it's
go that, pick up.
Even if it's something stupid, or it's like, oh, I was planning on eating leftovers. Like, I've already decided that this is what I'm doing. It's very hard for me to then go, oh, well, yeah, I guess there's no reason why I can't meet you for dinner. Like, right. Very hard for me mentally to do that.
So it's like kind of like the highs aren't as high anymore, but like the lows aren't as low anymore either. Like, it's kind of like the, like you're on your little horsey and you're going up and down.
That's sometimes interesting. Yeah.
Sometimes the horsey stops and stuff like that. Or
you're also on the like two seater one that doesn't go up and down.
Doesn't move.
Yeah. And then like the other theme is just like loneliness as like the liminal space between relationships and like kind of like the motivating force. Cause like there's a lot of happy songs on this album. It's not like, you know, like I'm like, I cry myself to sleep again. And like, no, why won't anyone date me or whatever? Like, it's like kind of more running away from loneliness and running towards love is like the driving force of most of her actions. And it's like not always tragic or malignant. Like, sometimes it's going on a dating app. Sometimes it's like trying to rekindle a relationship with her ex. Sometimes it's going to Joshua Tree and just like getting in touch with nature again. It's not really like, that's like kind of like the loneliest time she's talking about, like to avoid the loneliest time a little bit.
Yeah.
Any other themes, any other things we want to talk about? We got to like blaze through a little bit. Right after this break, click. But welcome back to the show. Welcome back to I Would Mean to Listen to That. We're here to talk about, let's talk about highlights. Let's talk about some awesome songs. Like, I think this album's pretty good, in my opinion.
So too do I.
Aaron, what's a highlight song?
A highlight song. We already brought it up, but it's Talking to Yourself. I really like that song.
It's so good. It's like a classic.
Yeah, there's something like comforting about it or something. I feel like that's a lot of what I have with her. In general, is I feel like a comfort. It's like why I knew going into it, I was just going to like this album.
Yeah.
Another artist that I feel this way with, where I just have been listening to them for forever, but this is other person much longer, of course. I will always like take in a new album of music. Like, it's not in the way that I take in Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is too big. It's like too much of a thing. Beyonce, it's too much of a thing. Like I'll always like their albums, but it's different. But it's like Carly Rae Jepsen, you give me an album, I will always receive it and I will take from it what I need. And it's like just a pure like musical experience for me. Right. And the only person that I've always historically felt that way with besides her is Amy Mann. I love Amy Mann and I have been listening to her since high school. And it's like, I realized she had an album that came out last year or semi-recently that I missed somewhere in the middle of, you know, having kids. And I was like, I know I will like this. And I put it on and I was like, of course I like this. Like, it's just, there's something just like with certain people where like, their music is in you in a way where it's not even like you have fan goggles on and you can't tell it's bad. It's just like, it's in your soul.
I really like what you said when it's like the artist is too big to really get there. Carly Rae Jepsen, because, you know, she feels like the indie pop star. Not really. She's not really, but I feel like, you know, she's my friend, so I'm going to listen to this music and I like it. So,
yeah. And it's not even right. It's not even like, oh, you guys don't have enough success or something. It's just like you're different. It's just different levels of like fame or something. As I'm also looking up at my Jenny Lewis poster. Like, it's like I would sort of feel the same way about Jenny. You know, it's like you feel like you can be mine, like something, you know, like it's
right.
It's something that's more of like an intimate shared experience. And that's how I've always felt at Amy Mann concerts and how I always feel at Carly Rae Jepsen concerts too, where it's like cozy, cozy, comforting like vibe.
She's not saying anything like controversial either. We don't know anything about her personal life or anything like that.
And I want to keep it that way.
Yeah.
Don't let me know anything about your personal life, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of funny whenever she like posts on Instagram, like her nephew or like her sister, you know, like that kind of stuff, like where I'm like, huh, I don't know that I need to know about your family. Like, I do always sort of have that feeling.
It's also like, it's like, hey, I went on a hike with my sister. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like that. It is funny because it's like, I don't know. It's sort of charming that that's what she's posting too. Like, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Are you me?
Like, there's no like, you know, like you gotta promote the album. You gotta like, you know, it's like the loneliest time. Like the TikTok was very organic. That was like a seemed like a groundswell of just like people like making fun jokes about it and stuff like that.
That was great. I mean, I'm obsessed with TikTok. So anything that's like going on TikTok too, I loved it. And I loved that it was just her this time. Like I was like, oh, this is so fun. Like,
yeah, it is fun.
she made one with her cat. It was like very, she's like for like as like young as she looks like, you know, kind of like young, like in her 20s or something like that. But she also like has like, she kind of has grandma energy too, a little bit. It's kind of like,
yeah, she's at some mystery age, like I was saying before. Like, she's a timeless deity that is claiming 37 right now. And I don't know if I believe that or not, but
she's like a Korean grandmother where like they look young until they're like 70 and then like 71, they just like,
you're like a grandma from a Studio Ghibli movie at that point.
We were talking about Talking to Yourself. That song's so good. It's like the
were we?
Yeah, I think so. I like it as like emotion, the song too. Like the idea, like I'm growing 10 feet tall, like kind of like a sequel to that song. The craftsmanship of her pop writing is so unique. Just like talking to your the pause self. I like that. I like the, you know, the second time she does it, like there's an instrumental break instead of saying self. I like, are you reaching for me and you're with somebody else? Do you talk to me? Like, just like, it's her at her peak power. It's not like bitter, but it's like tart. There's still a little like personality, kind of like a barbed, I hope you think of me when you're making love to someone else, but also talk to me, but not literally, but like telepathically when you make love to someone else. It's kind of like this odd thing. And this is like, this like really works in terms of like the loneliest time. This is like when you're just so fixated on this guy and stuff. What about you, Michael? What's the highlight song?
By far, my number one song in this album is "No Thinking Over the Weekend." The bonus track, "No Thinking Over the Weekend."
Really good one.
It is like a little fairy tale song that she's making. I think it's so cute. It feels like cozy and intimate. I love the like thought of it where it's just like, I'm just spending this weekend with you. I don't want it to be like anything dramatic. I just want it to be like sweet and kind and fun and "No Thinking Over the Weekend." Like, and the instrumentalism of it is so cute. I just love that song. I like want to listen to it right now while we're talking about it. The quietness of it, I really enjoy. I think that's something she doesn't do very often, or when she does, I usually find it kind of boring, but not on this song. I think the song is so beautiful. I sent it to one of my friends and he listened to the whole album because of this song. So
That's like, sweet.
You know,
I like "Surrender Your Heart." I think that's so, that's like she's always so good at intro songs. Like,
that's what I was gonna say. Yeah,
the idea of like, you know, I pay to toughen up in therapy, she said soften up. Like, first of all, like her sweetness and like, and her like seeming, you know, pure, like her seeming like pureness and stuff like that allows a lot of profoundness to like seep in that you don't catch the first time. A lot of men, when they get their hearts broken, they like kind of like become like these like kind of like they could like that's the difference of like a lot of like toxic men is like when they have like their humanity kind of like trampled upon, they like go into like the manosphere or whatever, like something really fucked up. But like she's saying her therapist told her to soften up. Her therapist is saying, you know, softness is strength, vulnerability is brave. And if you pick the right person, your bravery accumulates as you notice that the person you're with is safe to be brave with. Like, and to show your family is so vulnerable. It's just like the instrumental feels like blood rushing to your cheeks when you see the person you love. It's the idea of like, why do we have our hearts broken? It's so that we could love those who suffer and are brokenhearted, and so that we can have the experience and tools necessary for the relationships we're currently in. I think it's really great. It's like, so there's so much here. And it's like, again, like people like listen to this album for the first time and go mid, where, like, you know, it's like, this isn't like Cut to the Feeling and stuff like that. But like,
yeah,
I feel like they're missing out so much here.
I don't want this to be Cut to the Feeling. Cut to the Feeling is maybe my least favorite Carly Rae Jepsen.
Really? What makes you say that? Right, what makes you think that?
What? I just, it's just so like, it's so like, here's a pop song.
I love Cut to the Feeling so much.
It was written for like a movie and stuff like that, to be a pop song and stuff like that.
Maybe I've heard it too many times. Aaron, never mind. I love it. You're right.
I haven't heard it too many times. I listened to it today too. I was like, Cut to the Feeling, like, let's go. Oh man, I love that song. It's like, it's a pump up song, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like very, it is very.
I'm usually here for pump up songs. I think I just, here for I, think, it. God, I don't know. I just, I'm really sorry. I genuinely am so sorry.
I actually do Aaron's need you to apologize.
Aaron's about to leave. Yeah.
I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry.
My face started melting. I was just like, what is happening right now?
I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say.
I'll take this time to reflect and listen.
Yeah, I'm here to listen. That. Yeah.
Exactly. I need a notes app apology immediately about this.
I'm posting a carousel of apologies furious. After this, Aaron. Furious. So watch out.
Aaron, what's another highlight for you? Like,
I just feel like every song that I really like that was sticking out to me when I was trying to focus on the song titles today is something that we've already said. So it feels like it's something we've already mentioned. So it feels like I'm cheating, but I'm not. No, but I really like Sideways.
Oh, me too. I like when she makes like chugga chugga choo choo songs.
I really like Sideways.
What?
it sounds like dee doo. Oh, like,
yeah,
like a little train.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
like I got well, like, there.
What's that other song that sounds like a Chugga Chugga Choo Choo song?
Like Captain Cuts made that song or whatever. Yeah, you were talking about Sideways. What do you like about Sideways besides the fact that it's a choo-choo song for train boys?
It's like, sorry I said that.
Aaron, I'm sorry
song.
Again. I'm sorry I said choo-choo.
It's actually okay, what? Pretty much just that. No, but I like this album and I like the stuff that doesn't sound like Carly Rae Jepsen songs that I've heard before, but I also do gravitate towards the songs that sound familiar to me. And this one feels so much like a Sierra Chase song to me. Like it just feels like, it feels like when you hear it for the first time, like you've already heard it before, which I do like. I don't mean that as a bad thing. I don't mean that as like a dig at it. Like it feels like I like stuff from her on this album that feels like coming home, that feels like something that I've already had. And then it's like, it's just comforting. I'm feeling
an expansion of the Carly
verse. Cozy. Yeah, 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 exactly.
It's the joy of requited love. It's very refreshing in contrast to like how miserable emotion is. Like kind of like all the happiness on that album is like kind of temporary and like the rug's about to be pulled out from under her and stuff like that. It's, but this is even like, and this is the carousel metaphor of like, it's not a roller coaster anymore. It's just like, yeah, I'm doing really well. And like, oh no, I'm back on the dating scene, unfortunately, but you know, it's fine. It's not the end of the world or whatever. And the most like devastating song, like the saddest song is like Western Wind, not Western Wind. Like Go Find Yourself or whatever, but it's not that sad. It's like, it's not like, yeah,
I figured out what the other Chugga Chugga Choo Choo song that I was thinking about was. It's Everything He Needs, where it's like bump, 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 like the piano thumping, and it's like, he needs me, bump. He needs me.
Yeah, yeah,
he
needs
me. Yeah, he needs sounds me. Like a train.
Yeah.
I got everything he needs. Choo, choo. You guys remember that part of the song?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Michael, what's the second highlight?
Like, how much are we just going to mute my mic for this episode? I'm really curious what will be for the best on this one. I like So Nice a lot on this. I think it's really cute.
Yeah, oh my God, it's so good.
I like So Nice a lot.
If I'm like pulling up the album and I just want to like listen to one good song, usually my hand hovers towards like the later half of this album, like right after Western Wind. I'm like, So Nice, Bad Thing Twice. Even though Shooting Star people don't like, I like it. Song. Like, it's I'm just like, I'm just like, I think they're fun. And Shooting Star is just so like silly to me. It's like she found out that she could use a vocoder. You know what I mean? Like,
Shooting Star is great because it's like she's doing this bratty pop girl voice, but it's also like quietly erotic and progressive. The idea of just like, you know, I might sleep with you tonight if you want to know why, just because, like, that's just like quietly progressive and stuff like that. And like the pressing my back against the door of the refrigerator.
But sorry, I expanded my highlight to three songs on accident. So Nice, Incredibly Honest. Like, that's like the flip side of like Go Find Yourself or whatever, where it's like, this is what I'm really liking about a relationship. I'm really liking the way we communicate. I feel like I can really talk to you. Like, I don't know. It's super cute. I just think it's these three songs in a row are so fun, cute, like flirty. I don't know. It's like how I want to express myself, but usually can't.
I like the harmonies on Communicate, Don't Make Me Wait. Like that, like the harmonies, like something underrated about this album is like how good the harmonies are. Like she eventually wants to be a Broadway writer. Like she wants to write songs for Broadway. So like she's learning how to do it here. I think it's really cool. I hope
she writes eight new songs for the second Wicked movie.
Yeah.
I hope they make a third one that's all just Carly Rae Jepsen songs.
We gotta. If it's Carly Rae Jepsen songs, it'd be good.
We can't end the story in one movie.
Oh, God, impossible. Everyone. What's a musical? I hope that they handcuff James Corden to Ariana Grande and the third movie is just that. And they have to sing songs together while he drives a car.
That's like $1 million idea. Like,
yeah. Hollywood, I'm knocking. Hello.
I can't stand it. We can't possibly just make one movie. Shut up. Yes, you can. Like,
The line is, I just love it as like, just like the fact that it's like so earnest and sweet. Like she's talking about a sweet guy who's like polite and nice to her. And that turns her on. That's like so sweet. And like, it's the line, no guy can help me fly and hold me down at the same time. That's so sweet. She's quoting Cam from Modern Family, though, like, unfortunately. But like, I've seen a Facebook picture of that show. Like,
I thought a minion said that.
Oh yeah, Babu Devo. And then Babu Devo sounds like a Carly Rae Jepsen line she would sing in this song.
Yeah. Babu Devo, my favorite banana album. Like, yeah.
And the
wash that song down with a cup of cold brew.
Yeah. The line I really like is instead of her saying he's right for me, you know, like we're soulmates or whatever, she says he's right to me. Like he is good to me. And that, like, again, that turns me on. It's like, it's so sweet. Any other highlights before we get to like lowlights and stuff like that?
I just personally find it very charming that she did a song with Rufus Wainwright, because my best friend, whose birthday it is the day we are recording this, is obsessed with Rufus Wainwright. So when that came out, I was like, this is for us. Like, they love us and they love each other and came together. Like, it is like a funny, like, personal thing where I'm just like, man, this could have been anyone. I mean,
it feels like it was anyone too, which is part of what's fun about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, oh, that's funny. Our loves are hanging out, you know?
But yeah, I love it. I love that he's the choice of the big collaboration on this album. Like, like people love Rufus Wainwright, but he's not like Dua Lipa or whatever. It's like Elton John or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's like, it's like kind of like the nerdy theater kid choice of 100%. Who you would pick, like, for your big collaboration. I love
and
it.
Great, just guess into the dark of what my best friend and I. Our relationship is
She's doing this for you. She was sitting down. She was,
I think,
like,
Aaron's friend would think like this.
I'm like, nerdy theater kid is the correct way to describe both of us. We met in high school. Like, great. Yep.
I love this song. Like, I love it as, like, it's so euphoric. Like, and in the morning, it's like, it's her working at her peak power. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's still like, I love Rufus over disco. It's just like a song about I'm lonely, you're lonely, let's doink. It's great. It's like really good.
Let's doink. We can't say swear words on this podcast.
Yeah.
Network. You can't. It has to be doink, apparently.
Yeah. Any lowlights? I don't have a lot of lowlights for this album, but like, what do you got?
I already said I don't like Joshua Tree. I can't really articulate it. I just like don't, maybe it's because it comes second on the album. I don't know. I just, there's, and that's really me being like nitpicky, because I don't really have any problem with like any CRJ songs in the world, but like, I just don't really, I don't love that one. It's a low light for me because I don't love it.
It's a no from you, dog. Is that what you're saying?
It's a no from me, dog. My favorite reference to make, and it's like, why? It's just internally. Like one of those things. It's so, it's like, I also always say, please clap. Like, it's like,
I do, yes. I do too. Yeah.
Why are these?
I feel like it's so universal though. Like, it's so, the fact that it came from Jeb Bush doesn't matter. Like, everyone's felt like that. You know, please clap. You know?
Always, please clap.
That's so good.
All of us in Hollywood business.
It's a note for me, dog, always makes me want to say one of two things, which is, remember the iCarly episode where the teacher's obsessed with Randy Jackson? One. That's my first one. And then my second one is that I always want to say the story of my mom telling her dentist that she wants her teeth to be as white as Randy Jackson's teeth.
What?
Oh my god.
Oh, that's funny.
That's like, a good one. That's a good one for Mrs. Lumentano.
I thought it was like it was gonna be a story of your mom being racist or something like that. Like,
no. Like, no, it's a good
what a story. Good story.
It's a good story because it's so short, too.
Yes,
it's
just, that
I want my teeth to be as white
story,
as Randy man. Jackson's teeth, which I'm kind of like, you had a point, Mom. Like, you made some points.
His teeth are white, yes.
Oh, my God.
Okay, all that's muted, though, and cut from the episode. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, sure. Like, but... Joshua Tree's, it's fine. Yeah, like, I think they're, like, the worst songs of this are just fine. You know, they're not, like, bad. They're just like, they don't stick out as much as like Talking to Yourself. You know the chorus by the end of it. Like, you know it, and you're singing along, you're like screaming it and stuff like that. Some of these are like songettes. Like, they're kind of like, oh, okay, that was kind of an idea. That was like kind of interesting. Like, Far Away is like kind of cute, but it's like not I couldn't sing it to you and stuff like that. Like, but that's really that's like really any my big low light on it, really. Michael, do you have a low light? Do you have a low light song?
Like, I have no low light.
Besides Randy Jackson, your Randy Jackson.
Yeah,
story.
My low light is cut to the feeling.
Oh no. You have to issue another.
Wait, Aaron, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'll post again. I'm sorry. I was trying to do a callback, but I forgot that I have to do another Instagram post if I do this callback.
You can't be in the public eye for 2 months now. Like,
I have to listen with both ears now. If I have to, if you're like holding me at gunpoint to say one, which and you are,
yeah.
It's probably Ben's. Maybe I just am a little bored by that song, but it's not like bad. I'll still listen to it.
I like Ben's. It's like kind of like that's the song about her grandparent who passed away. Like,
okay, I'm an asshole. I'm so sorry.
I know that was like. Oh, actually, you shouldn't hate that song. That's really fucked up.
Okay, I guess you liked that his grandparents died.
Oh, no, it's boring.
Oh, it's like mid to you.
Oh my god, I can't succeed here.
Oh man,
oh, like... that's your low light. Well, you're a dick. So great.
It's like I like it. Like she says it in an interview, like the doo 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 is like kind of like her. Dissociating, like this can't be life, like just like, but it's like so delicate, it's so sensitive, like, and it's like kind of just like about finding the light when you're kind of like just like in this kind of malaise-y grieving period and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, like it's great.
Okay. I'm sorry to you too, Andrew. I'll make a post for you.
It's just like, oh, you're wrong, actually.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, how about instead of that, shut the fuck up?
Instead of your opinion, actually, you're wrong. Actually,
Michael, instead of that, shut the doink up.
Shut the doink up.
Shit. I forgot we're not allowed to curse.
Yeah. You just did it. Now you have to do a notes apology.
Yeah. Yeah, Aaron, we're just going to be doing notes.
This is live, too. Like, this is a live episode. screening out of the People's Choice Awards. But like,
Aaron, you make me really giggle on episodes. I don't know what it is. It puts me in a very silly mood. That's like, I'm like, is this good? I don't know, but I love it. So
I like couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard a second ago. So I think it's the same.
Well, while Andrew was berating me, he was smacking his ruler into his hand, ready to wrap my knuckles because I was so bad.
Holding guns to your head.
Have an opinion, like, but you're wrong. Andrew,
how about you dare to tell me what a low light is from you?
Like it's not a low light. It's just like I said that like it's the idea like. Beach House I didn't like, but I love now. It's like it's kind of like
Beach House, actually. Yeah
I like it, kind of. Some of it, like, I don't like the like interstitials of the like I'm probably gonna harvest your organs.
Like, it's a little like,
okay, like I get it, like it's supposed to be funny, but it's a little like, hey Carly, maybe don't tell any jokes, leave that to the pros,
leave it to us, the comedy gods.
No, but really, like, that's not that funny. It's a little bit like when your friend over escalates a joke where it's like,
oh, I see what you mean.
You know, haha, like, haha, I just smacked you on the elbow. And it's like, haha, I just stabbed you in the leg. Haha. Like, that's kind of how it feels.
She literally like, said something along the lines when she was writing the song, like, she was like, someone suggested that, and then once we went there, we couldn't go back. So it was like, it's in the song now and stuff like that. So I love this. It's good though. It's good now.
Actually, Andrew, that song sucks. You know why? It's about her boyfriend that killed her grandparents. Doesn't that suck? Don't you feel bad now?
I feel like a fucking idiot. Yeah,
as you should.
Oh, and a bad person. Okay, on that note, let's get to final thoughts and ratings. The way this works is we'll rate this album out of 10. I feel like we nailed everything. I feel like we got through everything.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I feel like we got through everything we needed to talk about.
Oh my god.
So I think it's good. It's like, so it's good. It's good album. I like it a lot. It's not as good as like Emotion. It's not as good as Dedicated, but it's like, I'm perfectly content with her making these very consistent 8.5 out of 10 albums for the rest of her life. Like we're just like, I love the idea that every three years and then a year after we get the B-sides and stuff like that. I love that idea. We just get like, she's so good to her fans. She creates this lovely community. There's this joyfulness to it. She's like a master craftswoman, but also a lot of profound truths about humanity seep through. I apologize for Michael's very insensitive comments and my own very insensitive comments throughout the episode. But yeah, I'll give this 8.5 rock skippers out of 10.
I know. I was going to say, I like how you rated the album for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's good if she just keeps putting out these 8.5 albums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
How about you guys don't have any opinions on this album? How about that?
I'm talking for myself. Like,
it's like anything anyone else says is wrong. So,
yeah.
It's interesting.
Man, a bunch of Adam Conovers here. But, like, okay. Like,
I'm nobody, Andrew, for the rest of this podcast. The opposite of improv.
No budding is my favorite thing. I was going to give it 9 out of 10 B-sides or whatever. That's my that's my thing, because it's both B-side reference, which we love from her, and Go Find Yourself or whatever. Yeah. A joke is good when you have to explain it immediately once it
and also comes like out of we your got mouth. It I feel like we got it, like it's not like it was like a hard...
It's funny how Andrew is it berating you for telling a joke like that, whereas if I had said that I would have gotten kicked out of the Zoom call.
I felt like I was gonna be, I feel like I've been bad at the rating system, or I don't think of it ahead of time or something. It's so I was like,
this is okay, bullshit. Like,
here's my reasoning.
Okay, here comes mine, Aaron. Get ready to get blown freaking out of the water. All right. I actually really like this album a lot. I think I like
actually,
it better. Actually, it's good. And I'm like, what are those girls on TikTok who rate the New York restaurants? And it's like, you know, Odell's is mid at best. And you can only go there. What's the VIP list? That's their name. Anyways, cut that out. I think this album's great. I like it better than I like Dedicated, and almost on par with Emotion, I think. I think this is like classic to me. I think this album is one of my, probably one of my favorite Carly Rae Jepsen albums. I'm still listening to it a lot. Like, I've listened to it a lot. And because of that, I'm going to give it 9.5. Sorry, I'm so sorry. Please read about how much I'm going to listen and learn in the future. Instagram posts out of 10.
Right. That's much better.
I'm so sorry. I'll make an Instagram post apologizing to you. Just let me know. I'll pin it even.
You have a lot of apologies to make.
All right. It's like, do you guys watch Drag Race? Or Aaron, have you ever seen Drag Race?
I haven't, which is weird.
I feel like you'd really enjoy it. Yeah. No. There was a queen who did an impression of Katy Perry who was forced by RuPaul to tweet an apology for the impression of Katy Perry when she did it, which I think is very funny.
Don't apologize to Katy Perry. Who cares?
It's so good.
Oh my God.
It made her feel like a plastic bag. Like, it's rude. Okay, so Aaron, thank you so much for guesting on our episode about Carly Rae Jepsen. I feel like we talked about it enough. Like, sincerely, thank you so much. You're always such a delight. Thank you so much for, you know, coming on again and for making us laugh and sharing your perspective on these things. I really love it. Is there anything you'd like to plug, anything you'd like to share, just like want people to know about?
I'm currently rewatching The OC.
Plug The OC.
Yeah, I just really want to plug like early 2000s teen drama, The OC. Anything that I'm doing is on social media, but I have nothing specific to plug right now.
That's good. Yeah. Socials?
Aaron Mallory Long. I almost said my name wrong.
Aaron Mallory Long.
Irma Vep.
At Marin Morris. at Aaron Mallory Long. Everywhere.
And your teller, Joy. yeah, check out her movie, The Menu. It's pretty good. I like that movie a lot.
Is it good? I like it.
It's fantastic. I really like
it. I want to see it. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I mean, it's mine, but.
Yeah. You don't like to watch yourself on screen. It's like. What? RuPaulogize.
RuPaulogize is good.
No, okay. Here's what it says. Hi, Katy Perry. I played you on drag. Hi at Katy Perry. I played you on hashtag drag hashtag. Race during hashtag snatch game. I want to hashtag RuPaulogize for not serving hashtag Katy Perry realness. P.S. I'm a huge fan is what I presume it says.
Yes.
Like, don't apologize to Katy Perry. No one should ever be doing that. That is insane.
Also so a sincere, I feel like she got away with not apologizing by using RuPologize. Like, I feel like that's the way you like not apologize, don't apologize.
I'm going to always RuPologize.
Okay,
now.
Literally in the episode though, RuPaul says, I want you to tweet an apology. Like, you have to apologize. Why did you?
How recent is this?
This is like
that on TV.
2015, I think. It was like an older season. It's like season five of the show.
You got to be on television.
I'm just saying, in 2022, we don't need to apologize to Katy Perry. She was campaigning for Rick Caruso. Yes, like, let's get a grip.
Rick Caruso issued an apology to her for losing.
Well,
I want to hashtag RuPologize for losing the election.
The thing about RuPologize, it literally says RuPologize. So, like, I RuPologizing to you and stuff like that.
I RuPaul.
Yeah, so it's too late to apologize. Also, like, that's what the character from Euphoria says, like, when she apologizes for being, you know, for her actions and stuff like that.
That's actually good, Andrew. That's funny.
Well, on that actually good note, Aaron, what song would you like to close us out with?
Okay, so this because I've been watching the OC again. Okay. They sometimes have bands come on. They had Death Cab for Cutie come on, which I never really listened to. But then I was sitting there staring at them. And then I was like, oh, yeah, those guys. And then it made me be like, oh, man, I loved the Postal Service, though. And then this was all before they announced that they were doing this fucking tour next year. I want everyone to listen to Clark Gable by the Postal Service.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great day. I apologize. Okay. I was waiting.